We begin with pictures this morning, and boy, have there been so many emerging as the devastation in Japan from Friday's earthquake and tsunami becomes clear not only to the cameras that are able to get to the devastated areas, but also to the people who are counting their losses.
And at this point, how does one count your losses? I mean, the words literally fail you in trying to describe exactly the scope of the disaster in Japan.
Well, all morning long, trying to give you that sense of the scope of the disaster is our mission here on The Takeaway. We begin with pictures. The Japanese news agency Kyodo says about 2,000 bodies have been found today in two coastal districts of the Miyagi region in northeast Japan. 1,000 were found on the Ojika Peninsula. Another 1,000 in the town of Minamisan Riku. The BBC's Rachel Harvey is there.
I'm standing on a hillside. The valley below me is just a scene of complete devastation. If I look out towards my right, that's the ocean. I can see in the distance. And then all the way through the valley for a distance of, I would guess, about 2 kilometres or so, everything has been flattened. At the end of the valley, so about 2 kilometres in, is a local government building that is structurally pretty much intact, although all the windows seem to have been broken. And up to the third floor, you can see tsunami debris hanging out. You can also see a tunnel over the other side of the valley, and coming out of the tunnel is what was the railway line, but it's been washed away, completely smashed. It's hard to imagine that anybody who didn't get out of here in time could possibly have survived.
A breathless BBC's Rachel Harvey reporting from Minamisan Riku, one of the areas in the center of the devastation. Of course, the devastation perhaps not even finished. Japanese officials working to contain potential nuclear catastrophes at the site of 4 different plants. Engineers working to prevent a potential explosion at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant. There was an additional explosion overnight, again, of hydrogen caused by a possible suspected core meltdown. The nuclear emergency continues around the nuclear power plant in Onagawa, which is north of the Fukushima district. Excessive radiation levels were reported there. Joining us now is Frank N. von Hippel, a nuclear physicist who's also co-founder of the Program on Science and Global Security at Princeton University. He's been an advisor to the federal government on nuclear matters. Frank von Hippel, good morning.
Good morning.
So, first of all, let's just step through the science here. When we talk about flooding nuclear cores with seawater, the plants themselves are a total loss, but does that mean that the emergency is possibly contained?
Well, it may be. I think we really still have to watch this very carefully. Unit number 2 now seems to be going through the same sequence as unit number 1 and 3. The thing that concerns me is the radiation levels in the plant, not so much around the plant. Whether in fact the workers can work, continue to do their emergency work in the plant.
And what you're describing, let's just mention, it happened at Chernobyl, where the radiation levels got so high that there was actually no way to even get close to the facility to try to operate some of the equipment, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, but of course, Chernobyl they had a huge release of radioactivity into the surrounding area, and we haven't had that yet. There have been small releases.
Although we do have reports that there are some workers in the hospital with a full-on radiation sickness.
That's what I'm concerned about, is the radiation levels in the plant.
Well, so explain to me, Frank, at this point, what is our biggest concern in terms of containment? I understand that there actually were reports that the cement surrounding the core was damaged, but the steel was not. Are we still reasonably assured that the radiation is not leaking into the ground?
The radiation is mostly captured within this containment, this steel and concrete containment around the reactor pressure vessel, but they haven't been able to control the pressure in that containment, and so periodically they've had to release pressure from the containment, and some radioactivity has come out with it.
And let's describe the reaction that's going on here. The water goes in, it's superheated to the point where the hydrogen separates out from the oxygen. That hydrogen is explosive, and by controlling the pressure, they hope to prevent future or further hydrogen explosions. I guess I'm also concerned about the fact that the, go ahead.
Yeah. While the core was uncovered, I mean, they believe now that the core is covered. While the core was uncovered, the steam was reacting with the core and producing hydrogen. Once it's covered up again, that would stop. And so but the concern is the steam pressure. And it appears as if most of the radioactivity that's been released from the core while it was exposed has been trapped in the water. But some is in the air with the steam, and so when they release the steam pressure from the containment, some of it comes out.
And indeed, something's going to have to be done with that water. I guess my concern, and again, having a nuclear physicist on the program is the best person to ask. I mean, at some point, don't they have to stop the nuclear reaction? Don't you have to, in addition to cooling seawater, pump some sort of neutron-absorbing substance in there to actually shut this reaction down?
Well, all the reactors have been successfully shut down with control rods. The boron, which has been introduced with the seawater, is an extra measure of provides an extra measure of safety in that regard. But all the reactors were shut down at the time of the earthquake. And so what we're dealing with right now is the heat generated by the radioactivity that was created by the chain reaction process while the reactors were operating, and that radioactivity is slowly dying down, but it's still generating a lot of heat. It's evaporating, you know, by my estimate, about 20 tons of water an hour.
Frank N. von Hippel is a nuclear physicist, co-founder of the Program on Science and Global Security at Princeton University. Your feelings at how uncontrolled this thing feels?
Well, the crisis is not yet over, and I hope that they will be able to maintain the water levels over the cores. But the arrangements they're doing this with are quite tenuous, and I don't know how those arrangements will be affected by the radiation levels in the plant.
Well, we're certainly learning. Frank N. von Hippel, a nuclear physicist with his fingers crossed, the scientist racing against time against a nuclear catastrophe in Japan. Thanks so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.